Begin the current daf, Masechtas Me'ilah, daf Yud Alef. Begin several lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of our Perek Vlad Chattas, which speaks about, as we mentioned, regarding exemptions from the laws of Me'ilah, which have the wordings Loi Nen and Loi Moilin. So says the Mishnah as follows: Hamafrish Mois L'Nazirus. If someone separates monies for his Nazirus, where out of the Nazir, when he finishes his vow of Nazirus, so he has to bring certain karbanas, and he designated monies for those karbanas. Now, he didn't specify, these are for my chatas, these are for my ilah, these are for my shlam. They're unspecified. Says the Mishnah, le'nenen v'le'mailen. One is not allowed to have benefit from those monies, but if one did have benefit from those monies, in any one of these monies, he has not committed the isser of me'ilah. And the reason, he's not liable for the liabilities of Me'ilah. And the reason is, Mnei Shehin Ru'uyin Lovei Kulin Shlam. Because ultimately, on every single part of those monies, we could say that this is the money they were separated for the Shlam. Now, a Shlam is Kachim Kalam, as we said in the first paragraph of Zayim Abayz, that Kachim Kalam, before the blood is thrown, which here there's no animal even, for sure the blood was not thrown, there's no halacha of Me'ilah. Now, the question is, but why do we go leniently? There's also oila money here, there's also chatas money over here, there's also kachim, which actually do start off having mila. The reason for that is because if you would say that, oh, you look at all the monies, that each money is also worthy of being brought as the oila, and therefore, to the contrary, maybe say all of it should have mila. However, the problem is, but there is shlamim money also mixed in over here, which does not have me'ilah, because it's kachim kalam. And if one's going to have to bring a carbon me'ilah because of benefiting from those monies, it's going to come out that he's bringing chulin to the azar, because there's also shlamim here. So therefore, we go leniently and we say, okay, now that I benefit from it, but there's not going to be the halachas of me'ilah regarding it. As the Mishnah says, Mei shehein ru'in love kuli shlamim, because ultimately, all those monies are fit to be brought as a shlamim, and therefore, we're not going to consider it as anything more than that, and therefore there's not going to be the liabilities of Me'ilah. Says the Mishnah, Mace, if the Nazir died, V'hayle Mois Tumim, and he had these unspecified monies, which again, like we said, it didn't specify what's for what. Here, which is Halacha Mois Mesinai, by the laws of Nazir, Yipel Nadava, so then those monies will be a Nadava for the Tzibur. Now, Mois Mefarashim, let's say he died and he had specified monies. So says the Mishnah as follows, there's three different karbanas that he had money separated for, and they have different halachas. The mechatas, the monies that were separated for his karban chatas, yichul yamamelech, they're thrown to the Dead Sea, which is like a chatas that the owner dies, which the halacha is, it's left to die. Here also, in the equivalent of the money, it's thrown to the Dead Sea. And therefore, loinen of loimailen. You're not allowed to benefit from it, because ultimately it was sanctified, but there's not going to be halacha of me'ilah, because there's no loss created for hektish, because this money is going to be going to waste anyway. The money was designated for the carbon ayla. Yivio ayla, they bring a carbon ayla, which is just a gift, because it's not coming for atonement. As the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Kenan, in the second parak, a woman that dies, her inheritors bring her ayla, because that's unlike a chatas, which there's no person to atonement for. Here it's just a gift, and therefore it's brought as the ayla, which is a diary. And hence, umaylam bahan. So there's still going to be laws of meilu it, because it still has the sanctity of an ayla. The monies that were designated for the shlamim of the Nazir, Yaviyu shlamim should be brought as a shlamim. It can be eaten only for a period of one day, like the laws of the Shalmi Nazir, where although generally shlamim is for 2 days, the Shalmi Nazir is for 1 day. And however, the intuin and lechem, it does not require the breads that are usually brought with the Shalmi Nazir, because by the Shalmi Nazir, it says in Bamid Bavav, the breads are put onto the palms of the Nazir, and the Nazir is not here because he's dead. So therefore, it doesn't apply for the halachas of the bread, but the animal, the monies itself, are brought a carbon shlam. Now, Maskevla Rish Lakish, he asks that since we said in the Mishnah that why are these monies separated by the Nazir? Loinen v'loin ma'ilin, you're not allowed to benefit from it, because ultimately it's sanctified. But there's no laws of me'ilah, because ultimately, each one of these monies, we could say technically that it could be the shlamim monies, and shlamim is kachim kalam, does not have me'ilah until the animal is actually sacrificed and the blood is thrown. So then that's the shlokish of a listening namis. I can tell you another case that Mishnah could have said. Hamafrish mois likinim, if someone separates his monies for the birds, certain types of people, zav, zava, mechusri, kipurim, they have to, yuledis, they have to bring a pairs of birds in regarding the purification process. Mitzayir, there's certain types that have to bring birds. So it should also say in the Mishnah, regarding those monies, lainen of lainmailen. You're not allowed to benefit, but it's not going to be me'ilah. Why is it not going to be me'ilah? One's chatas, one's a'ilah. They're kachikachin. No, b'mnei shein ru'uin lahavi tayrin shlegiya zmanan u'bnei yayin yishav zmanan. Because technically, you could say that he was going to bring, it's possible, just like you say, by shlam it's possible, to bring turtle doves that have not yet reached the age, or pigeons, young pigeons that already passed the age, where they already got yellowish. Or by the turtle doves that they're too small that didn't yet reach the age, where the halacha is also loy nen v'loy mylin, because they're not fit to be brought as a carbon, because they're invalid. So we wouldn't call it mikach Hashem, and therefore they wouldn't be me'ila. Now, Tosafot points out that we don't really mean the case of b'nei yoina that already passed their time, because that's never fit for the mizbeach. What we mean to say is, we meant it primarily for the case of the tor, the turtle doves, that didn't yet reach the age that it could be brought, because it has to be a minimum age, but that's a good sanctification, you just have to wait. But in that time span, then it's not going to have the halacha me'ila anymore, because not kachya Hashem. So technically, you could say that those monies were going to buy a tar that didn't yet reach the age, and therefore, we should say loy me'ilin. So why do we only say this case of our Mishnah regarding the mois of the Nazir? So Amarav, he says, no, you can't compare the case of our Mishnah when the Nazir had separated monies to someone that separates monies for his pair of birds. Because regarding the Zirut Amr Torah, the Torah says, "B'mayistumen," when you have unspecified monies, "Havishlam." From those monies, some of it has to go ahead and be brought for this obligation of the shlam. So therefore, we could say that since we're possible to bring from all these monies the shlamim, and you could bring the chatas and let's say from other monies. So therefore, we're going to say there's not meila on all these monies, even though initially we separated to take from these monies all the three karbanas. But in the case that you're asking regarding someone that separates the monies for his pair of birds, do you think Amr Torah, the Torah said, Havi Torah Shlegi is mana, that you should bring turtle doves that didn't yet reach the age? Which are in and ruin the Mizbeach. That's not fit for the Mizbeach at all. Why would someone bring that? So therefore, you didn't say that in case in our Mishnah, because we're not assuming that that person is going to be bringing that to say that, oh, those monies could be for Torah Shlegi is mana, to say that Emoilin. In the case of a Mishnah, that's a appropriate logic to say, because definitely the monies have to be brought for Shlam. So you could say all the monies are for the shlam. And therefore, that's why it's going to be in Moil in the contrast to the case of someone that's bringing his pair of birds. Now, continuing on the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme, the halachas of Me'ila, applying to different types of specimen species, as we said from the previous parak. Pshimanami says, Hadam, the blood of a carbon, Kal betchila v'cham b'sayfet. In regards to the laws of Me'ila that we're discussing, it's lenient in the beginning, but it's severe at the end. Whereas nesachim, regarding the libations, which are wine and oil, which is the wine and the water, chaimim betchilasim bekal b'sefer. There it's stringent in the beginning, and it's lenient at the end, the inverse. So the Mishnah explains, dam betchilasim, blood in the beginning, ein ma'ilin, there's no law of me'ila on the blood of a carbon if one benefits from it. Whereas at the end, yotzel nachal kidron, when it goes out to the Kidron Valley, ma'ilin by there, there's actually going to be rabbinically the laws of me'ila. Whereas in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Me'ila even rabbinically, because we don't make any decrees in the Beis HaMikdash, whereas when it went to Nachal Kidron, that's after the blood is thrown, and it went out of the Beis HaMikdash. As the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Yuma, that all the bloods, they mix into this canal, which goes out to the Kidron Valley, then that blood is sold to the gardeners, to the farmers for fertilizer, and then there's going to have Me'ila, but that Me'ila is rabbinic, not biblical. Now, whereas in the Sachem, the libations, initially it's sanctified, and therefore there's laws of Me'ila. When it goes down to the pipes at the edge of the Mizbeach, and then there's no Me'ila. So they're inversely related, the blood versus the libations. Now, Tanabam Linda Braisa, it's actually Machlaikis, the Allah of a Mishnah. Me'ilin B'dam, the Divrei Mei Reb Shimon, they hold that actually there is Me'ila by the blood. But V'chachamim, like we said in our Mishnah, said no, ein ma'ilin, there is no me'ila. Now, rabbinically, there is me'ila, like for example, like we said in the Mishnah, after it goes to the Kidron Valley, but initially and biblically, there's no laws of me'ila. It says the Gemara, my time demand ein ma'ilin. What's the reason for the Chacham, the Halacha of our Mishnah, that there's no me'ila by blood? Seemingly, should be like old Kach Hashem that should have the laws of me'ila. So Amar Ula says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says, the Me'ikra, the Pasuk there begins and says, ki nefesh abasu, because the soul of the flesh, badam he is in the blood. And Hashem says, "Vanina satav lechem," and I gave it to you. Which the pasuk continues for the altar to have an atonement. But the words "Vanina satav lechem" sounds like "Shelachemhu." It's yours. I gave it to you, which means say Hashem is not mine, so it's not going to be me'ila. That's one interpretation. The Rebbe Yishmael Tana he teaches from that same pasuk, which says, "I gave it to you lechaper for atonement," which lechaper nesatav. I gave you the blood for atonement, v'loy le'me'ila, and not for the laws of misappropriation. A third interpretation, Rebbe Yechonam, he says, "Amakra." That same pasuk says at the end, because the blood is in the soul, that's going to be what the atonement is, because that's the primary atonement of a carbon, is the throwing of the blood, the spraying of it on the Mizbech. But the word who always connotes b'habiyas, and hey, it's consistent, which teaches us lefnei kapar kalacha kapar hu, that the blood before the atonement is like the blood after the atonement. And that is malacha kapar, just like after the atonement. Ein b'me'ilah is no me'ilah on the blood, because the mitzvah was already done with it. So af lefnei kapar, ein b'me'ilah, so to before the atonement, there's no me'ilah on the blood. Says the Gemara, b've'ema, I could tell you, no, go the other way. Say, malaf nekapar yesh b'me'ilah, just like before atonement, there is me'ilah, because the mitzvah wasn't done yet, so therefore it's still kach Hashem. Af lacha kapar yesh b'me'ilah, so to after the atonement, there's going to be me'ilah. First, the Gemara says, what, b'chiyesh lecha davish nasa mitzvah siyev yesh b'me'ilah, do you think there's something that the mitzvah is already done, and there's going to be the laws of me'ilah? Can't be, it's already done, it's not a kach Hashem, it's not designated for Hashem's purposes anymore, because what Hashem wanted from it, which is the mitzvah was already done. And therefore, rather, it's more logical to say, like we said before, that to the contrary, like Rabbi Yechim is saying, that it's a source to tell you that there's no me'ilah on the blood, even before the kapar. Says the Gemara, am I lying? Why not? Why are you saying that it's definitively that something that's done the mitzvah that is not going to be me'ilah anymore? But as you get into Mizbeach, I read Trumas Hadeshen. You have the big pile of ashes on the fires on the Mizbeach. They would take off a shovel full of the ashes, which was put near the Mizbeach. Shenasa mitzvah, so the mitzvah is already done. You took the shovel and you put it there. V'yesh b'me'ilah, and there is me'ilah on those ashes on the side of the mizbeach, on the floor, where it says v'samek, to place it over there, which says it should remain there. You're not allowed to utilize it. So therefore, we should learn from over there that even it's nasa mitzvah, so me'ilah would apply. Says Gemara, no, Mishum, the reason why you don't learn from there is the havalei trumas hadeshen, ve'ivari sirah meshtalech, because you have these two laws, the trumas hadeshen and the limbs of the higo, which is sent off the cliff. That are shnei k'sum abam kecha, there are two psukim saying the same idea, which they're both saying that even though the mitzvah was done with them, they're still going to be forbidden. When you ever have two psukim saying the same idea, you can't learn from there, because if you can learn from there, then say one pasuk and you know the other one from that. But in fact, if we had to say it in two different contexts, obviously it's because we can't learn from there. But says the Gemara, that's very well according to the opinion that's brought in Masech Tzum over the Nef Samach Zayin Med Aleph, that Eivari Sar Meshtalech, the limbs of the he-goat that sent off the cliff of Yom Kippurim, that says, Einen mehem, that yeah, you're not allowed to benefit from them even after they fall into pieces off the sharp cliff. That means to say that they're still going to be me'ilah, even though the mitzvah was done, and the reason is because they learn that from the pasuk El Eretz Gezeirah, so therefore that would make sense. That's why you can't learn it from Trumas Hadeshen, because you have two psukim, Trumas Hadeshen and Sar Meshtalech, saying the same idea. According to the one that actually holds that you could have benefit from the limbs after they fall off the cliff, because they learn that from the word midbar, which is free for all. So what are you going to say? You should learn from Trumas Hadeshen, because not two psukim saying the same idea. You only have Trumas Hadeshen saying this idea that even though the mitzvah is done, it's going to be aser. So maybe learn from there that you see even achal and nas mitzvah say the laws of me'ilah could apply. Says Zigmar, you're right. It's not because of the limbs of the Sar Meshtalech according to that mandama, but mishum dehavali Trumas Hadeshen big de kahuna. But you'll still have two psukim, that of Trumas Hadeshen and the Kohanic garments worn on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol, that are shnei k'sum abam keached, two psukim saying the same idea. V'chashnei k'sum abam keached, im alamda, two psukim saying the same idea, that even after the mitzvah is done, it's going to be forbidden, therefore you can't learn from there. But says the Gemara Hanichel Rabban, that's well according to Rabban, under Amri ben Nichem, that they say regarding the pasuk of the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, that after he finishes the Avodah and those four garments that are white that he wears on Yom Kippur, that he should leave over there, that they learn, what does it mean that he should leave it over there? Malamachin tun kiniz, that means to say it has to be buried, that it's forbidden forever, no one could use it. So Shabbat, that's very well, even though the mitzvah was done with it already, still forbidden. That's two psukim saying the same idea, you can't learn from there. But Al Rab Daisa, the Amma that he says, Mutal Ishtamash ben Kain had, that actually a regular Kain could use those same garments that the Kain God had worn. Means to say that it's not prohibited, there's no me'il on it. And what does it mean, v'nichem sham, according to him? It means that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't wear it on another Yom Kippurim, that he should leave it over there, he can't wear it again. But according to that, Ma'ikal Mem, what are you going to say? You don't find that even though it was worn and it's done, it's going to be us. So it's actually permitted. So you only have one pasuk again. So why can't you learn it from Trumas Hadeshen? It says, Gemara, no, Mishum Dabba Trumas Hadeshen ve'egla aruf. Because you have Trumas Hadeshen, and you have the decapitated calf, when you find a dead person on the road, you don't know who killed them. The closest town has to bring the calf and decapitate him. There are also two psukim saying the same idea, that the decapitated calf, even after the mitzvah is done with it, is forbidden for benefit. Says the Gemara, fine. But that's very well according to the mandama that's mentioned many times in Shasta hold. Yeah, two psukim saying the same idea, you can't learn from that. You have Egla Ruf and Trumas Hadeshen both saying the same idea, that you can't learn from that. And therefore, that's where Yochanan had said, obviously, we're comparing the dam before the kapara and after kapara, it must mean that even before kapara is going to be permitted, because after kapara, after the mitzvah is done, obviously, there's no problem about me'ilah. But according to the opinion holds that, yeah, even if two psukim saying the same idea, you could learn from that. Michael, what are you going to say? You should still be able to learn from them that there could be a nisa of me'ilah even after the kapara. So maybe you should say that even the comparison is actually done before the kapara and after the kapara are saying that it's going to be asr. says the Gemara, no, even according to the one who generally holds that you could learn out from two psukim saying the same idea, here you're not going to learn out. Why? Because treim yutik sivi, these two contexts have two exclusionary terminologies. Ksiv hasan by the Egla Rufa, it says in Devarim ha'arufa, the decapitated one, which sounds like this one specifically and not something else. Ksiv hasan says over there, v'samei etzam mizbeach b'chum esedeshin, you should place it near the mizbeach, that extra last vav, to tell you, hani in. These are where you can have the laws of me'ila even after the mitzvah is done. But but other things not, and therefore, again, by the blood, obviously, after the mitzvah is done, it's not going to be aser, and therefore, if who is comparing before and after, must mean that even before is going to be permitted. That was Rabbi Yechanan's the third interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, to say that the dam doesn't have the laws of me'ila, biblically, at least initially, regarding the having benefit from the blood. Now, the Mishnah then said, however, the inverse is, but nesachim, the libation, but chilam oilan, in the beginning there is me'ila, but at the end, there's no me'ila. Says the Gemara, Lemas Neil, let's say our Mishnah that said that once it goes down to the Shisin, which are these pipes at the edge of the Mizbeach, that there's no more Me'ila, it delay Kerb Lazarib Tzadik. Because as we're going to prove, he holds that even when it goes down to those pipes, you have to burn that congealed wine that was poured as libations there in a holy state. And since he requires the burning in a holy state, obviously he holds that there's still a sanctity and there's going to be Me'ila even after it's poured down the pipes. The time, like we learned the Braisa. He says, Lul cotton hoy ben kebish mizbeach. There was this small pipe that was between the ramp and the mizbeach. That was ben marav shel kebish, that was on the western part of the ramp. Now, once in every 70 years, Pirchi Kuhun the Yerdin, by the young Khan would go down that canal, that pipe there at the edge of the mizbeach. Mavi and Yain Karas, they would bring up all the wine that was poured down all the years, congealed wine. Shudemele Gula Devel, it was like these cakes of dried figs. That's how congealed this wine was. They would bring up these cakes of dried wine. Vesarvan Isabik Dusha, they would burn it in a state of sanctity. Shemek says, a pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, Bakaydish, in the holy state, Hasach Nesach Sheikh Hashem, you should pour down the wine libations to Hashem. So he learns, Kishem Shin Nesuch HaBekdusha, just like this pasuk is pointing out, that the libations are done in a state of purity, a state of sanctity, like it says by Kodesh, Kach Sreifas HaBekdusha, so that when you burn it, after they would bring up these cakes of dried wine, would also have to be in a state of sanctity. Says the Gemara, my mash, but where do you see anything about burning? V'am Ravina, because he said, Asi Kodesh Kodesh, we're learning Zerushov in the word Kodesh. Ksev HaCha BaKodesh, here it says, by the libations, it says, in a state of sanctity. Ksev HaSem says, over there, passing in Shemais, V'Seraftes HaNeisr Be'esh, you should burn the leftover carbon in the fire, V'lo Yechel, you shouldn't eat it, Ki Kodesh, because they're holy. Now, so it says over there, burning with Kodesh. Man Neisr Srefas BeKedusha, just like the leftover carbon, its burning should be done in a state of sanctity, because anything that became invalidated in a state of sanctity, like here, it was a valid carbon, it's just left over its designated time. You have to burn it in a state of sanctity, because we learn that, as the Gemara says, M'sachem, the Pebeis and Beis, from the Pasuk by Chatas. It says, by Chatas, Chol Chatas, Hashiyuv Medama, in the inappropriate place, Be'esh Tisarf, which the burning has to be in the state of sanctity, also to anything that becomes invalidated from a state of validity, has to be burned in a state of sanctity, like is the case by Neisr. So Avhai Nami, as the Gir says, Shreifas Bekdusha, so also over here where it says the word Kaidish, by the Nesachim, the burning, which is done when you bring up these cakes of wine, will also have to be done in the state of sanctity. But one thing we see, that according to Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadik, that even after it goes down the pipes, after it goes down the Shisin, it still has this Kedusha, and therefore you have to burn it in the state of sanctity, not like our Mishnah that says, after it goes down the pipes, there's no Mameila. Says the Gemara, no, I feel a Tamer Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadik. You could say that our Mishnah is even like Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadik. This, that the Mishnah said that once it goes down to the pipes, there's no me'ila, is talking about the ikalat. It's saying that if it didn't go down the pipes all the way down to the ground, rather before it went down totally the pipes, someone stretched out his hand and he caught it in the air space when they're pouring the libations, that's where even Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik would agree that there's no law of me'ila because the mitzvah was already done. Now, however, if it went down the pipes, then there's going to be Me'ila because the ground of the bottom of the pipes is sanctifying, just like the Ritzbah of the Azara, all the vessels, all the elements in the Beis HaMikdash and Azara sanctified things, the bottom would sanctify. But and therefore he says that when they bring up these cakes, they're sanctified and you have to burn them. But here, it was caught beforehand, and since it was Nasa Metzvasi, even Elazar would agree to Allah of a Mishnah that there's not going to be any Me'ila. Now, Ikedami, those say a different version. That Leim Masnit and Kerb Lazar B'Tzadik, let's say that if our mission is going to be like Kerb Lazar B'Tzadik, is talking about the Ikalat. Meaning to say, it would have to be like we had just qualified in the first version, that someone caught the wine before it went down to the ground of the Azara. where, because if it went down to the ground of the Azar would sanctify and we'd have to burn it. And if we have to burn it, that means to say the mitzvah wasn't done yet and the laws of Mila would still apply. So Rosh Gemara says, Ami, they said, no, loy, no, not necessarily. You could say that the Mishnah is like a Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, even without the stipulation that someone quoted before it went down. Because this, the Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik said that they would burn these cakes of the wine. That was only rabbinically. But you're right, biblically it doesn't have any more sanctity once it goes down, once the Nasa Mitzvah say, once it goes into the pipes. And therefore you could even say that the halacha of the Mishnah would be even if someone didn't catch it before it goes down. It says the Gemara, but for Krah Kanasavla, when he brings a pasuk, he shows from Kaidish by Kaidish and Sechnes of Sheikh Lashem that it's a biblical halacha that you have to burn it. How can you say it's rabbinic? Says the Gemara, no, smach, it's just an illusion. But really, biblically, it already loses its sanctity once it goes into the pipes, even if it goes down to the ground of the Shisen, and therefore, it would, the halacha of the Mishnah would be like him, even without the stipulation of Kalat. And this that he says you have to burn it was only rabbinically and based on the illusion of the pasuk. Now, continuing on the theme regarding Loi Nenim Loi Moilin, says the Mishnah, Dishun Mizbech HaPnimi. The ashes from the inner altar, which the incense was burnt over there, the Hamanayra and the candelabra, which the candles were lit every single night, the oil candles. So, the ashes that would come from those two vessels, they would take them out and put them near the outer altar, in the same place where they would put the Trumas HaDeshen of the outer Mizbech. Says the Mishnah, but if before the ashes were placed over there, the halacha is loinen, and one's not allowed to have benefit from these ashes of the inner altar and of the menorah, but v'loy moilin, but there's no halacha me'ilah, because here it doesn't say v'salmai to place it there, like it says by the ashes of the outer altar, to say that's always going to be forbidden. Here, once the mitzvah was done with it, there's no me'ilah, but still one's not allowed to have benefit from it. Now, however, says the Mishnah, ha'makdish dishin batchila. But if, in other words, if let's say after that the ashes of the Mizbech HaPnimi and the Menorah were placed over there where the Trumas HaDeshen are placed from the outer Mizbeach, where then it's not possible that the ashes didn't mix together, so then the halacha is going to be Moilim Ba. Then someone's going to commit Me'il, even if he's benefiting from the ashes of the Mizbech HaPnimi or the Menorah, because it's already mixed with the Trumas HaDeshen, which the Trumas HaDeshen is forbidden, and therefore those other ashes are also going to be forbidden and have the laws of Me'ilah. Similarly, says the Mishnah, Toyrin Shlehigi is Manon, Ubene Yoinishav is Manon. Turtle doves have to be a minimum age, and actually pigeons have a maximum age. So regarding the turtle doves that didn't yet reach the age of when they're viable to be a carbon, and if the pigeons already passed the age when they're viable, it can't have benefit because ultimately we're sanctified, but there's no mama'ila because you're not taking anything away from Hekdash because it's already invalid to be brought as a carbon in the base of Hekdash. Now the Gemara's Bishleimo, we understand regarding the truma, the shovelful that one takes as we continue to talk about Bezim and Al from Mizbech HaChitzim, from the outer altar, known as the Trumas HaDeshen, Tichsiv Bey, that regarding it explicitly says in the Torah that there's going to be laws of Me'ilo, because it says in the Pasuk, V'samai Eitzel Mizbech, you should place it near the Mizbech, and therefore actually that's why it has to be buried over there, meaning that it gets absorbed in this place, so that one shouldn't commit Me'ilo with it about having benefit from it. But the question is, Mizbech HaPnimi Menolan, how do we know regarding the ashes of the inner altar, meaning to say that you place it near the outer altar, which then is going to have Me'ilah, like we said in the Mishnah, when it then mixes together with Trumas HaDeshen, how do we know that the halacha applies, that that's what you do with the ashes of the Mizbech HaPnimi? So Amar Allah says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, Yikra Behaser es Murasai Benoitzasa. When it talks about the Oiv carbon, it talks about that you remove the Zephik, the gizzard, with the feathers that's on it, and you place it El Mukaim HaDeshen, to the place of the ashes. So says Rabbi Elazar, Im Eina Inyan, if it's not teaching us anything regarding to write that it has to be on the place of the ashes, if it's in regards to the ashes of Lebezbech HaChitzin, that is telling us where you put these gizzards on the side, you put it where the ashes are of the outer altar. We don't need to say that that's where the ashes are of the outer altar, because we already have a different pasuk telling us the ashes. And Meyukrovav, it says Veheir Mesadeshen. We already know that the true Mesadeshen is placed over there. So what's it telling us that when you put it to the side of the altar is the place of the ashes? I already know the ashes are there. So then it says, Rabbi Elazar, Tineyu Inyan, so rather apply when it says you put it to El Mokma Deshen, what ashes is it coming to refer to? To the ashes of Lebezbech HaPnimi, to the ashes of the inner altar and of the Menorah, which it's telling us that that's the place that you put it, and hence it's going to have the laws of Me'ilah, like the Trumas HaDeshen of the Mizbech HaChitzin that was placed over there. But says the Gemara, how do you know that? Maybe say both Pesukim are talking about the ashes of the Mizbech HaChitzin, regarding the ashes of the outer altar. So why did the Pasuk repeat it twice? Oh, that's to tell you, V'lekvay le'makam. That's the reason why it says the second time here in this pasuk regarding the Oiv carbon is simply to tell you that the gizzard of the bird is thrown to the eastern part of the Mizbech. And it's just telling you where you put it. Where do you put it? You put it where the ashes of the Mizbech HaChitzin are. And therefore the question then returns. I wouldn't know yet that there's me'ilah on the ashes of the inner altar because it doesn't say anything there regarding its ashes. And as Rashi points out, although it says v'dashkneim as a mizbeach, that's at the time when they would travel so that they could travel. But in general, it doesn't say anything about doing anything with the ashes. The Gemara answers, if that would be the case, like you're saying, that the reason why it only says it by the other pasuk of the bird carbon is just to say, when you put it by the ashes, just tell you where you're putting it. If that's the case, then Lamakar the pasuk could have just said, v'hishlechai, so that you throw the gizzard with the feathers on top of it, it's lamizbeach, near the altar, kedma to the eastern part, and that's it. And I would know what's over there. That's the place where the ashes are. How would I know where the ashes are? Because you learn out the word etzel etzel, from where it says v'samei etzel lamizbeach. And here it also says you put it etzel lamizbeach. So I would know that both of them it means to say by the ashes of the mizbeach achitza. So why does it repeat here in this pasuk the word deshen, my hadeshen? What does it mean that you'll put it the gizzard of the bird carbon by the place of the ashes, which is another allusion to another type of ashes, to tell you daful mizbeach apnimi. It's even referring at the same places where the ashes of the in mizbeach go. And as we know, because what's called im in inyan, if it's not telling us anything regarding the outer ashes, it must be telling us something regarding the inner ashes. Now, since it tells us that the ashes are there, it's telling us that it's going to be like the Trumas HaTesh on Mizbeach HaChitzin, which, just like there, there's a law of Me'ilah, so through over here by the ashes of Mizbeach HaChitzin, once it's there, it's also going to have the halacha of Me'ilah. It says the Gemara Menoyah Menoyah, and how do you know that the ashes of the Menoyah go there too? Deshen HaDeshen. It could have said Deshen, and it says Mokoyim HaDeshen, that extra hay is coming to tell you another ashes, which is the ashes of the Menorah, that it's also placed over there, and henceforth, at that point, it's also going to have the laws of Me'ilah. But again, as before it gets there, then it's Lo'inen and Lo'in Ma'ilin, but once it's there, then it will also have the law, like the Mizbeach HaChitzin, to have the laws of Me'ilah.